Hi, it's Dean O'Brien here, and today I've actually got the opportunity to introduce you to O'Brien Real Estate's number one agent, Michelle Stevens. She's going to share with us her journey, what's important to her, and how she goes about real estate on a day-to-day basis. So we look forward to listening to our number one agent at O'Brien Real Estate. Hi, today I've got Michelle Stevens here from the Carrum Downs office, who's also O'Brien's number one agent 2 years in a row. So it's really exciting to have you here today, Michelle, to actually tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, because I know there's a lot of people that are very heavily interested in what you do and how you go about it.
Hi there, how you going?
That's good.
Thanks for having me.
Now, let's put it on the line. You've had a pretty good year. Let's say a very, very successful year in a pretty tough marketplace. I've written down some of the awards here. Number one agent in O'Brien Real Estate, second year in a row. Third, 3 years in a row, is it? Wow, time's get ahead of me. I do apologise for that. Well, I didn't think we're that old, but we are. Third in Australia for Rate My Agent.
Yep.
Top 50 in women.
Yep.
And now the finalist for the number one agent at the REIV. Very exciting. In what has been the toughest market for most of us people have seen out there.
Yep, definitely.
So tell us, where did real estate start for you?
I've been in it for 9.5 years now. I'm only 29 or 29.5, so I got into it when I was 20 years of age. I really just kind of wanted to get straight into sales. I didn't want to kind of work through the ranks in a sense. I didn't want to, I just kind of wanted to go sink or swim. So I kind of...
That's fantastic, but you said 20 years of age. So what were you doing at 19 years of age? Because there's a lot of young people in our organisation would like to know, you know, how did you get into real estate? Why was it? What was it at 19?
I originally wanted to be an accountant to follow in my father's footsteps, so I was doing a business and commerce degree. I did that for under 6 months, and I kind of... ran.
Yep.
So I just worked part-time, full-time, just in like Diva and like Goldsmith Jewelers where I worked out what I wanted to do. Always had a passion for real estate, always went through like open homes with my dad when I was young and everything like that. So always loved it, and I love sales.
Isn't it amazing how most people have said that there's been a journey through the family that's actually brought them into real estate more than the careers teacher, because we've never actually had that careers teacher that sat there with us in that final year and say, you really are suited for real estate, but yet it's been a very much a family influence. And the retail background's been fantastic, because we all believe that real estate's about spending time with people and it's all about people. So that retail would have certainly gave you an influence. But to have that passion early about real estate, as you said, from very early age.
Yep. It's it's something that's obviously hard to get into when you are so young, because someone's effectively trusting you with their biggest asset, which is their home. So being able to obviously believe in yourself, to have someone believe in you, to entrust their biggest decision in your hands, is obviously a bit of a challenge. But if you don't believe in yourself, you can't make anyone else believe. I mean, you've got to believe in yourself to make them believe in you effectively.
Now, your first day, can you remember it?
Yes, I can.
How was it?
I remember when I first tried to get into the industry, I went to like everywhere trying to get someone to give me a job, and I found that quite challenging. I was given an opportunity. When I met the team, I remember a lady by the name of Lynn. I shook her hand, and she didn't say anything at the time, but then on my very first day, she pulled me into the kitchen and she said, "Now, Michelle, shake my hand." And I shook her hand and she goes, "We're in a male-dominated industry. You don't shake a hand like that. You shake a hand like this."
It's interesting, isn't it?
So I'll never forget that.
And then they're the little pointers that are quite amazing, which I absolutely love, because, you know, I remember my first day and it was very similar. Like, I was a country boy from northeast Victoria, and I'm coming down and I didn't know anyone, and I was daunted, I was excited, I was scared and everything else that. But you did walk into a male-dominated environment and in a male-dominated area. Like, there's been some of the most successful real estate agents are women, and they do an amazing job. And I think they actually have something that men really lack, which is called empathy.
Yep.
And I think that's why they're really built for success in real estate, but they just haven't shone like that, say, 10 years ago, but they're really outstanding now, and they're certainly dominating O'Brien Real Estate. I know that for a fact.
Yep.
But that first day is such a significant moment in anyone's real estate career, and it can really set the agenda moving forward.
Yep.
So Lynn was a great influence, obviously.
Yes. And look, I obviously I say I wanted to get straight into sales, but I really wanted to kind of learn different facets in a sense. So my actual first sale that I made was in the first 3 days.
Wow.
I actually went to a rental open for inspection with one of the property managers just to see all different avenues of real estate effectively. Started talking to a lady there and just said, well, you mean, have you considered purchasing? And she just said, well, no, I didn't think I could. And just said, can I get you onto a broker? And so I got a broker to chat to her, and she was actually in a position to purchase. So then decided to take her through any little bit of stock we had and sold her her house. So don't just kind of, you want to, I don't know, kind of people say success leaves clues in a sense, but you don't just want to kind of, don't be narrow-minded.
I think a lot of people, that narrow-minded look is enormous that we do, because a lot of people just think about, oh, if they talk about this, they talk about that, but you actually had a problem and you solved it.
Yep.
And this lady had a problem and you actually solved it with an outcome she didn't even expect, which is even better again. And I think if we look deeper into real estate, it is just problem solving, isn't it? It is about finding what the problem is.
Yep.
And how best that we can get them to their ETA as quick as possible.
Yeah, to the next chapter of their life.
Now, let's talk about you as you've gone from first day to second day to third day to actually now being our number one agent at O'Brien Real Estate and your team. Tell me about your team.
Okay, so obviously you can't do everything yourself, and there's lots of things that I am not good at. I think you've really got to identify what your strengths are and find people that can complement your weaknesses. I think where a lot of people go wrong is when they start getting busy, they feel perfect, let's put on an assistant, and they want an assistant to do everything that they don't like doing. They want them to do admin, they want them to do prospecting. Just like myself and just like you guys, you're not good at everything, so you can't expect that one assistant to be good at everything. So I think I learned very quickly that identifying what were my downfalls, finding someone to complement my weaknesses, but not expecting that one person to be able to do all the, I don't know, kind of the roles in which people don't want to do necessarily in real estate.
It's an interesting thing, because a lot of times when I feel with, especially with my team, when they want to go to the assistant, they want to hire themselves. Yep. That doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
And isn't that a common mistake made early on when agents want to get their first assistant, they hire someone they actually like more than someone who actually complements their business.
Yep.
They want to find someone who's inspiring, motivated, but just like them, because they're inspiring and motivated and all that, but yet doesn't make sense. You need someone for the role to play the role, don't you?
Yes, definitely. So you've got to, look, I've made plenty of mistakes. Can't even count the amount of assistance I've had over the years.
I think that is such an important statement to make, because I know for a lot of the times, first time they get an assistant, they made a mistake, they actually get a little bit disheartened with 100%. The environment. Matthew DeWan's exactly the same. He's got some great team now, but the roles that he's played and certainly his hiring before, he's gone through loads of assistants to get the great team.
Yeah,
so it doesn't happen first time, does it?
And look, and people obviously outgrow the role in which you've got them in as well. Like, they might get sick of doing admin or sick of doing prospecting, or and you've got to obviously let them try and grow within.
Well, at O'Brien, our purpose is to facilitate their growth. And if we've got that vision and that ambition to actually help people and facilitate their growth, surely they will journey into the next stage of their career, as you did, and that's why you're here today.
Yep.
So, which is great again. Now, another thing I do know about you is the amount of hours you work. Without scaring people off, because I do know a lot of people get an assistant and they get the next assistant to think they're going to find more time. You've actually gone next level on that.
Yeah.
How do you go with time and how do you manage this? Because for people that are listening here today, tell us the number of transactions you did last year.
I don't know, 140 something.
So, and yours is it's a private sale marketplace.
Yeah.
So therefore the auction process, as much as the handling, there's a lot of vendor management after hours that's required, not just on auction day. There's a lot of buyer back and forth, not just on auction day when it does. and therefore your business, which you've actually stated that's what you've gone big on, is very much, but it's very labour intensive real estate.
Yeah, 100%. Like August and September, to give you an idea, I had my biggest month in real estate in September, but over the 2 months I listed personally 49 properties in 2 months, and it probably would have ended up being 12... I did 23. I think I had one fall over in about 45 sales around about. So that's a lot of
Lot of companies would like to do that. So for people that are listening out there, they didn't miss that. That was 49 properties
listed
and also 45 sales. So that certainly wasn't, if we use paper term, that wasn't a misprint. That is actually fact, and that takes a lot of hours, and it just didn't happen. There was a build-up of a magnificent database management follow-up, actually knowing where your clients were at, and it was like a lot of people say, just all come together at once. It's like the perfect storm as such, but you have to manage that perfect storm.
Yeah, and the hard thing with real estate is you have your highs and lows, but when you start to get to the point where you can build a team, you do then have consistency. Coming off the back of those 2 months where I think the ninth today, I've listed already 11 properties this month. So it's consistency. And, as you said, with the hours, people, they effectively think they hire someone, they can get a bit more work-life balance, but the whole idea is hiring someone is you've got another mouth to feed. So you're meant to get busier from having someone else. So the more people I have, the more busier I am, because I'm bringing people on to be able to, we've got more building and pest inspections, more finance, more photos, more write-ups, more bank valves. So you've got to bring more people on to be able to keep up with effectively the workload.
And that's what I love about it, because once again, as I stated earlier, is that a lot of people think they're going to bring an assistant on for more work-life balance, but the reality of it is the workload does increase.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't say you can't have work-life balance, but it actually, a lot of people think that this is an opportunity to step back where you've just gone, and top performers don't think that at all, do they? This is another opportunity, obviously another cost, as you said, another mouth to feed, but also another opportunity. You don't look at it as a cost more, you look at it as a fantastic investment into your business.
100%. Like, you've got to, we're in a customer service industry, like we touched on earlier. and that's the thing, like, the busy, like, They don't care that you've got another 20 vendors. Like, they are there, they only see themselves. So you've got to make sure that you can, if you're getting busy, you've got to be able to keep up with that level of service that you'd expect if you're selling your home, to be able to,
Every vendor's number one.
Yeah.
Okay, as you said, you've got 49 next opportunities there, but you've also got the other ones on there, and they're number one. They can never be seen as number two.
No.
Now, going on that, so everyone got this. So you've got a great team. I think you're up to four in your team now, is it? Or you're probably five for all I know. You go that busy with me.
Yeah, well, I'll have, I've got Lenny, who's actually my husband that works for me full time. He's amazing. I have Bree, who does all my admin that works for me full time. I have Wendy that will do a lot of database and buyer management as well, that's full time. We've just employed another full time girl to replace someone else. And I've got my sister that works on Saturdays to help open home numbers and, like, just Mondays.
That's a significant
so full,
team.
Full timers and a semi-part-time.
I actually like the idea of a part-time, because I think we're in a position now where we can have specialised people do that part-time work as hostings, opportunities, etc. But your role. Define your role in your business for us.
List, sell, negotiate.
That's it, isn't
and
it?
Look after my vendors.
Yep. Yep. Lenny pretty much runs the operations, I believe.
Yes. So he will, kind of a bit of an all-rounder. So can kind of, the hard thing is, I'll be out of the office for.
Correct.
I'm meant to be out of the office. They're not meant to see me. So to be running a big team, you need direction and someone that can be there that is kind of that backstop, a person to ask questions to, etc.
I think that's fantastic, and I think that's a lot of the time people miss. They think because they're the number one agent, they actually need to be the team leader.
No.
There is no doubt that you're going to be the significant person in the team, but doesn't make you the best team leader, does it?
No.
Because, well, as you say, your team only runs best when they don't see you.
Yep.
But your team needs someone to go to.
I'm in the office, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
So no, I'm usually distracting them if I'm in the office.
That's another thing that can often happen.
Yeah.
So let's go one more step, and we'll have one more question, because I think this is a significant question. Last year was the worst real estate market Victoria has seen in 2 decades.
Yep.
Full stop. Lack of supply, lack of opportunity, changing banking regulations, etc. But yet it was still your best year.
Second best year. We did have a slight decrease.
Yep.
I wrote 1.8 the year before.
Yep.
And I think I wrote 1.5 last year. My aim was to last year before obviously realizing the market was going to change so substantially was to write 2 million. I very quickly identified that was not going to happen. The 1.5 is less than we would talk, like I think $4,000 off 1.5.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yep. People will look at it going, it's nothing to sneeze about. But we were having to work, even though we did have a decrease, and I think like everyone probably did, I was having to work, 50% harder for less.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get at is because I know a lot of people are deflated. And
don't be deflated.
Don't be deflated, right, because top performers feel it as well.
100%.
They just think it's easy for these top performers, but they're not. But that 50% extra was required because it wasn't a moment. It was actually a period of time that it actually happened.
It was fallovers. So you'd sold them, you got to resell them again. So it was all this time and energy put into things and then doesn't happen. Or you list a property and then, unfortunately, they can't borrow what they need to move to the next chapter. So these property have listed weren't coming to the market anyway as well. So
I know there's a lot of people that I deal with on a regular basis feeling that the market shifted a little bit, feeling a little bit more confident, really a bit excited. And I'm so proud of them to get through that moment or that period of time. That how do you feel about the current market?
The current market has definitely increased. I think it's come back quicker than a lot anticipated. But all I can say is don't forget your basics. A lot of people, when a market changes, they forget doing the things like your vendor reports, communication, buyer work, prospecting. They think the market's good, so it's they drop off on those kind of, vendor reports is just that, it's a very good example. You go, well, what's the point of giving them a vendor report if we're going to sell it in a week or 2 weeks?
Spot on.
Don't forget your basics because at the end of the day, no one wants the market to change, but the market will change again. Will it happen in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? We don't know. But you need to remember to do your basics because when the market does change again, you don't do anything different. You just keep doing the same thing.
System-based process, routine.
Exactly. Don't forget your basics.
So I'm going to finish up now because I've had an opportunity to talk to you, but I want to leave with your one gem. Tell me what you feel about real estate. If someone started today, their very first day, as Lynn did, don't shake a hand like this. What is the one gem that you can leave with them?
Be persistent. Don't take no for an answer. If someone gives you a no, think of a different way to ask the same question again.
Well, I actually think that sums up Michelle Stevens, full stop. So congratulations
on an
amazing year, and we are so proud for you.
O'BrienRealEstate.com.au. The difference is our people and local knowledge.